Well, a pleasant evening to each of you. If you'll be taking your Bible and turning to the 23rd Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to have this number out tonight and be able to study together. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Wilson has suggested. And if you've never been baptized upon your faith in Christ, all things have been made convenient. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and upon your confession, Jesus is the Son of God, you can be baptized and have your sins blotted out by the blood of Christ. Or if you need to be restored and you need to come back to Christ, we'll be praying as we stand and sing that you do so this very night. If you have your Bible, in the 23rd Psalm, begin reading with me at verse 5 and we'll read through verse 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, these are some of the most famous words ever penned. And even many of the ungodly people, or most people, have probably heard these words at one time or another in their life. Many times when you have a baby, the words are read or sung to the child. And there have been times when I've stood by the deathbed of someone and it's the last psalm that they hear. But I want us to think about some things from the 23rd Psalm. I enjoy making a study of this particular psalm because there are many things we often overlook. And time will not allow us tonight to look at all the great lessons from this psalm, but I want us to examine very carefully verse 5. And I want us to think about some of the great lessons we learn from that one phrase in verse 5. With Thanksgiving coming up, I want us to talk about the overflowing cup. The first thing I want us to recognize is David wrote this psalm. And David understood what it was to be a shepherd. And David understood that the Lord was his shepherd, that the Lord took care of him. Just as David tended to the sheep out in the wilderness and made sure they had food to eat, just as David would go by them by the still water and he would pull the water so the sheep would drink, because sheep don't drink from running water lest they fall in and drown. The water has to be calm. David said, the Lord leads me by still waters, just like I led those sheep so many years ago. Now, I do not know when David penned this psalm, but one thing I know, David understood the care of a shepherd. And David understood what it meant for somebody to tend to him. You know, notice that David talked about, he anoints me. You know, at the end of the day, the shepherd would take some oil. And if the sheep had gotten some brambles or briars, the shepherd would anoint the head to make sure that none of the scratches would irritate the head of the sheep. And he would make sure that the sheep was comfortable. But then he would take a big dipper and put it into some water until it was overflowing, and he would give it to the sheep so the sheep would have something to drink. Many times they'd be in the wilderness and there wouldn't be a lot to drink. But the shepherd made sure that his sheep had adequate water. And David said, I want you to understand my God who supplies my need gives me an overflowing cup. He said, my cup runneth over. That I'm not lacking for water. I'm not lacking for anything. My God, who is my shepherd, takes care of me. And David describes how God, even in the presence of his enemies, has blessed him where his cup overflows. Now, David didn't say life was easy. David said, even in the presence of mine enemies, he said, God has taken care of me. But I want us to stop for just a moment and think about our cup of blessing. Think about what God has blessed us with and notice some things about our cup that overflows. You remember the Apostle Paul wrote in the Philippian letter and the 4th chapter in about verse 19 that my God shall supply my every need. And I want to tell you, my friend, when we look at our lives, many times we just do not see how God has blessed us. Many times we see the physical and ignore the spiritual. But I want to bring some things to your mind. There are some people who never appreciate the cup that the God has given them, and because of that, their cup never overflows. It's not God's fault. It's because they won't allow God to fill their cup. And they look everywhere else in the world to get their fulfillment instead of looking to the Lord and allowing the Lord to be their shepherd. They want to be their own keeper. They want to be the one that tends to their own business. And they do not submit to God. And I'll tell you, that is a sad thing, because the Lord wants to be our shepherd. The Lord wants to care for us. Have you ever thought about, my friend, those who go to the wrong places, who go to the wrong source? They think that drink or money or anything that is illicit, that will bring them enjoyment, that will fill their cup. But they're never satisfied. How many times have we seen people gone down the road of sin and they think, well, just one more, and they get further and further away from the true source of joy, the true source of comfort, the true source of one loving you. And so I've often thought about how many people are disappointed when their life and cup is empty. There are people all over Alabama and Tennessee tonight that their cup is empty, because they've looked in all the wrong places for someone or something to fill their life, and they've not went to the right source. David said, I want to tell you one thing. I know this much. The Lord is the one who supplies my needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He said that unashamedly. He said, the Lord is the one that fills my cup. But then secondly, there are some tonight who are not happy and their cup is empty because they're so discontent. They're never happy or content with what they have. Nothing pleases them. They're only happy when they're complaining. And you cannot fill the cup of a discontented person, for they have always knocked out the bottom of the cup. And they're never going to be satisfied. A contented man may have enough, but a discontented man will never have enough. But then third, there's some tonight whose cups are not overflowing because they're so filled with envy they don't see what they have. So many times they're looking at somebody else's cup and they say, well, it seems like their cup is overflowing more than mine, and they don't appreciate what God has blessed them with. How many times have people been so envious of others, and they've looked over and because they've seen the blessings of someone else, they spill their cup that's overflowing. But I'll tell you something else. Those who do not go to God do not enjoy that blessing. Take your Bible and look in the book of John in the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 10th chapter, notice verse 14. Notice that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Now, I like that. Just as David of old said God was his shepherd, I recognize that Jesus is my shepherd. And notice what Jesus said. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Then if you drop down, look at what he said in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, I know this much tonight. God knows who his sheep are, and his sheep ought to know who he is. And one way I know they know who he is, they follow him. Many times in the Middle East, shepherds will get together, and all the sheep will mill together. But a shepherd's got a specific call. He'll do a specific whistle. And it's amazing to watch. His sheep will just come out from all the other sheep and follow him. Why? They know his voice. They know his call. They're going to follow him. He is their shepherd. And so many times we follow the wrong thing. And Jesus said, I want you to know one thing. I'm the good shepherd. And Peter said in 1 Peter 5, he's the chief shepherd. And notice, Jesus lets us know that he laid down his life for us. In the Middle East, it's not even uncommon today to see a shepherd that's been killed by a wild animal. Why? He protects the sheep. He said, a hireling will run. A shepherd who owns the sheep, who loves the sheep, will die for the sheep. And Jesus said, that's exactly what I've done. Now then, I want you to think about our cup that overflows. I want you to think about tonight what we have to be thankful for. And time won't permit us to go into great depth, but just several things to go home and think about. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes we're ungrateful when we just need to stop and see our cup is overflowing. Sometimes in our world, we don't know what it's like to go hungry, and we don't know what it's like to have little prospects of what's going to happen tomorrow. I'll tell you, we sometimes cry over things that other people do not even understand what it would be like to have. You ever thought about the cup of good health? About having a sound body? You know, sometimes we take that for granted till we lose it. And you know, I've learned there's always someone who's in worse shape than we are, and we need to thank God for what He's given us. Tonight, if you can hear, you know that's a blessing that a lot of people do not have. And tonight, if you can see, that's a blessing a lot of people do not have. And many times, we just take for granted the physical blessing God has given us. And I would that I could get us to appreciate what we have with the physical blessing. But then I'll tell you something else. You ever thought about friends and family and affection? When you have a family that loves you, it's a time to be grateful. Sometimes we take our parents for granted until they're gone. Yesterday I'd done a funeral for a dear friend of mine who was just 44 years of age. Played ball with him through the years, knew him. And I'll tell you, my last text to him was, "I love you, my friend." And his last text to me was, "I love you too." And he wrote a little phrase to his family. And I read it and it said, "Never be ashamed to teach someone about grace and love. Never be ashamed to tell someone I love you. Never be ashamed to look at your spouse and tell them you love them. Never be ashamed to tell a brother in Christ you love them." Sometimes I'm fearful that we think we don't need to tell people. I want to tell you something. It means a lot to have someone tell you they love you. And sometimes we take that for granted. And we need to make sure our children know. You know, it don't take long. One day they'll be grown and they'll be away. And I thought about how often have I neglected to show them the love that I need to. One night the boys were making a lot of noise and I was getting a little frustrated because I was trying to read something. And I thought, you know what? There's going to come a day this room's going to be silent and I'm going to miss that. I'll just let them make the noise. And I'll tell you, it's a snap of a finger, they're grown and they're gone. We need to learn to appreciate the small things in life. Appreciate the family. And we need to tell our friends, those who stick closer than a brother, as the proverb has said in Proverbs 18:26, that we love them. But I want to tell you something else we need to be grateful for. The church. Are you grateful for O'Neill? Are you thankful as you look around and see these men and women here who've been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? Are you thankful they're your brothers and sisters in Christ? Take your Bible and look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And when the Apostle Paul was penning this letter to the church at Thessalonica, he said in verse 13, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you by our gospel." Here were men and women who were called by the gospel of Christ. They responded and he said, "We give thanks and we love you." I thought about that. When was the last time we thanked God for the people at O'Neill? But I want to tell you something else. Our cup would overflow if we showed brotherly love. In Hebrews 13:1, the Hebrew writer said, "Let brotherly love continue." I'll tell you. When I think about the love of brothers and sisters in Christ, I think about a deep love. Because we're united through our Savior. But that brings up something else. Have you, the last time you thought about thanking God for the comforts of your home? You may say, "Well now, preacher, I don't have a big home. And my home's not as nice as someone else's." I didn't ask you that. I want to know when was the last time you thanked God for your home. There have been times I've been inside and I've been complaining because it was cold outside and I wanted to get out. Then I thought, how many would like to be in my house being warm? And so often we complain about things we ought to be grateful for. And sometimes our cup is overflowing and God has blessed us and we do not see the blessings. But I'll tell you something else. Memories. You ever thought about precious memories? You ever thought about loved ones who've gone on before and yet we still think about them and they're near to us because they're in our heart and we're able to remember our time with them? Our cup overflows. But I want to tell you the greatest thing we never need to never forget, the spiritual blessings. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul said, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. All these other things are great. But I want to tell you the greatest blessings are when you're in Christ and you can pray to God. You've been saved from your sin. You're right with God and the Lord is your shepherd and He tends to your spiritual needs. Yesterday we had reason to rejoice. Even though I was burying a friend, I had another friend write me and ask me if I'd baptize him. And I thought about it. Even when tragedy comes, sometimes something good comes out of it. And I want you to think about, my friend, the joy we have of being the people of God. We need to praise God who fills our cup. And we need to share from the overflow with others. And think of the cup that Christ drank so we could drink from the water of life. Remember in Luke 22:42, He drank the bitter cup. He drank the dregs of it. He drank it fully. He drank all so that we could be saved from our sin. And when you think of heaven, your cup will overflow in eternal glory. Sometimes I wonder if we appreciate the cup that God has given us that is overflowing. Now tonight you may sit there and think, preacher, I don't have what a lot of other people have. I don't have many. I want to tell you, as I look out tonight, I don't see anyone that's poorly dressed. Everyone seems to have nice clothing. Most of you drove here. Now some of us walked. But that's not because we don't have an automobile. And most of us look like we're doing pretty well in the food department. Some of us look like we're doing too well. But I'll tell you one thing. Every time I think about the spiritual blessings, I think of David saying, my cup overflows. How can we not be thankful for a shepherd who gives us what we need and not what we deserve? If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized, God can give you eternal heaven if you will.